that we'll never be able to exhaust it all in this life, but I hope that these studies have been a blessing to you, and we're going to finish up John chapter 5 this evening, Lord willing, and the title of the message tonight is simply Believe the Word. John 5, 39 through 47, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God tonight. John chapter 5, beginning at verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able together and to sing your praises and study your word. I pray you'd help me to preach exactly as you'd have me to tonight. I thank you for the word. I pray you'd help us to believe it. Help our faith to grow stronger day by day. Lord, we do believe, but help us to believe in a greater way. Lord, please convict hearts tonight if there's any decisions that need to be made. And certainly with a group this size, there are those who need to make decisions for you. I pray that we would all be surrendered to your perfect will tonight. Please bless, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Two simple truths, two simple responses that I believe we need to come to by this passage of Scripture this evening, just this handful of verses. Number one, we need to search the Scriptures. And number two, we need to receive the Savior. Very simply, Jesus, as he has continued his speaking to those who were upset with him for healing on the Sabbath day, they didn't rejoice that the lame man was healed. They were mad at Jesus for healing him. And then when Jesus let him know that he was equal with God, they hated him even more. And so all of this has been in response to that. And we come down to the end of what he has to say to them. And he says simply, search the Scriptures. These were men who did that with their lives. And these were men who memorized portions of Scriptures that are just mind-boggling to me. Entire books of the Bible they could quote from memory, and they studied the Word of God in a way that we don't even understand today. And they knew the Word of God, and they knew the Scriptures. And so just get that for a second. You think about the person in the world that you know that knows the Bible better than anybody else. I mean, somebody that knows the Scriptures better than anybody you know, and it'd be like going up to them and saying, you just need to study your Bible. Amen. Obviously, you haven't been searching the Scriptures. Obviously, you're not getting it. You need to search the Scriptures. And so that's get that in your mind that Jesus is telling people who know the Bible better than we even dream about knowing it. He's telling them they need to search the Scriptures. And that's exactly what they needed to do. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Because you know it so well, you think you're going to be okay. But knowing it and knowing Jesus are two different things. Knowing about God from the Bible and knowing the God of the Bible are two different things. And so he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He's saying, if you really search the Scriptures, if you really studied that book, then you would see me in the book. You would know, because of the things that I have said and done, you would realize that I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God, I am the Son of Man, I am the Savior of the world. Search the Scriptures. Notice in verse 39 the danger of legalism. In them ye think ye have eternal life. They thought that if they knew the letter of the law and kept the letter of the law, that they would be okay. So many people today want to take this thing of Christianity and make it a long list of rules and a long list of do's and don'ts, and that's not what it's about. It's not about rules. It's about relationship. And so there's a danger there of legalism. Now, you might not realize it, but in missionary Baptist churches today, there's a danger of legalism. I believe that we have the truth today. Amen. Me and Brother Tom believe that we have the truth today. Amen. Just me and Tom, no. It's too late for the rest of you. You missed your chance. Don't you believe we have the truth?
Amen.
Yeah, if I didn't think we had the truth, I'd go somewhere else.
Amen.
We were just talking about this Saturday, that an older preacher man that I know, great man that I respect, he said, the more I study this book, he said, I really believe we have it right. He said, I've looked at all these other places, and I think he's been in part of them and maybe grew up in them. And the more he gets in the book, the more he believes that what we believe is Bible doctrine. It's not just Baptist doctrine, it's Bible doctrine.
Amen.
And he said, if I find somebody else that's got it that I think's better or got it right more than we do, I'll go over there.
Amen.
He said, I just hadn't found it yet. Right. You know, the reality is we believe we have the truth, but we've got to have a balance. God is about truth and love. It's not just about the letter of the law. It's about the love of Christ, and it's about a relationship with Him.
Amen.
And there's balance there. And by the way, you don't have to give anything up to have both of those things.
Amen. Right?
Right? Truth and love go together.
Amen.
And so there's a danger of legalism today. There's a danger for us to think that we've got the truth and that's all we need. No, we've got to have it all.
Amen.
We've got to have it all. The danger of legalism. Notice the declaration of life in verse 39. He goes on to say, in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He says, you think because you've got the law, you have life. But if you don't have me, you don't have life.
Right.
There's the declaration of life. Jesus declares that he is testified of in the scriptures.
Amen.
I saw a little video a while back, and I tried to put together what was in the video, and I was amazed. A little boy quoted this from memory, and I'm not going to be able to do that, but I want to read it to you. And it's just a picture of Jesus in every book of the Bible. I think the kid was 12 years old. It was very impressive. But listen to this. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's a faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of our lives. In Esther, he's the savior of his people. In Job, he's our ever-living Redeemer. In Psalms, he is the Lord, my shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he is the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is God. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the burning fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband forever. In Joel, he's a baptizer with Holy Ghost and with fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he's gracious and merciful God. In Micah, he's a messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist crying. In Zephaniah, he's a savior. In Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the living fountain. In Malachi, he is the son of righteousness.
Amen.
And listen, that's pretty brief little list there, but you can see Jesus in every book of the Bible. And you can go on through the New Testament. Jesus is clear in every one, and not just one of those things, but those things and so much more. Jesus is there, and he's telling these men, listen, if you just look in the book, you would see me. If you really search the scriptures, you would find me. I am life, but you won't come to me that you might have life. And that's it, friends. If somebody won't come to Jesus, they won't have life. That's what he says. You will not come to me that you might have life. But if you would come to me, you could have life. You see all these things in a negative way sometimes, but I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, everything Jesus said to these men, he was extending an invitation for them to believe.
Sometimes we read this stuff and we kind of see it with a little bit of a sarcastic light or something, and some of a negative attitude. And certainly Jesus was many times putting those men in their place because they should have known better. But always, always, he was giving them an opportunity.
Amen.
I'm right there. I'm right there. If you just look, you would see that that's me. Search the scriptures. You know, a lot of people today have a lot of questions. A lot of people, they're not really sure. There's one man in our community that we've been back to his house time and time and time again, and we've tried to share the gospel with him many times over, and he's always got these questions. He's always having these troubles. He's always trying to figure it out. He's always looking for this and that and the other. And the reality is, if he would just get in the book, if he'd just get in the book.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of books, and we've even tried to give him. We've given him gospel tracts and devotional books and other little testimony books and other kind of apologetic type things to read. But at the end of the day, the only thing really of value in all of those things is the Bible.
Amen.
It's the Word of God that's going to change somebody's life.
Amen.
It's in the Word of God that you're going to find Christ and find life. Search the Scriptures. And by the way, this isn't just for eternal life. This is for everyday life.
Amen.
You want to find the answer for whatever troubles you're facing today. It's in the book. Search the scriptures. Number two, receive the Savior. Jesus very simply tells them in verse 42, I know you. We've sure seen that a lot in the Bible lately, haven't we?
Amen.
Jesus, I know you. I know you.
Amen.
You look very good on the outside. The people in the city, they look at you and they think that you are very godly. You're very righteous, you're very pious, you're very religious, and they see all of that on the outside, and you look really, really good. But Jesus says, I don't just see you on the outside, he says, I know you.
Amen.
I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I know you. I never want to preach doubt to anybody. I think the Bible's full of assurances.
Amen.
But you know, the reality is there could be people sitting in the pews right here tonight, Sunday night people, whose names are on the church roll, and they might not have the love of God in them.
Amen.
Do you know that? And Jesus might not be standing here physically looking at you, but he speaks to us through his word, just like he spoke to those men with his voice, and he knows you.
Amen.
And he knows me. And I wonder what Jesus would say to me tonight. Isaac, I know you. I wonder if he would say, my love is in you. Or if he would say, the love of God's not in you. But guess what? Jesus knows, but I believe deep down those men knew too. Listen, if Christ is not in your heart, there is a void, and you know it. And you can try to placate that with religious acts. You can try to placate that with good deeds. But there is something there that will never be filled with anything besides the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, once you're saved, Christ is in you. But we're not always filled with the love of God like we should be.
Right.
When the Lord's speaking to your heart tonight, is the love of God in you? Look at verse 43. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Receive the Savior. To receive him is to receive the Son of God. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. You see, Jesus was never sneaky about this thing. From the very beginning, from the time that John